At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with the authors Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth. This is Nero, Matricide, Music, and Murder in Imperial Rome. If it appears that the bodies are falling quickly, you're correct. But the major threat is to anyone close to the family that rules Rome, and also people who are hangers-on to that family. The succession drama is always the threat. We've seen that with Tiberius, who's suffocated by Caligula, who's murdered by the guards, and perhaps as a plot of his uncle Claudius, and then Claudius himself is poisoned by Agrippina. We now come to the first 5 years of Nero as a teenager, as emperor of Rome. Anthony, I get the impression that his escapades at night with his gang, very immature and not especially damaging to the empire. At this point, Seneca, Burros, and one other freedman are ruling the empire. And are things going well, Anthony?
Yes, things are proceeding quite smoothly, quite satisfactorily. As long as Nero doesn't interest himself too much in the details of government. For the time being, he likes having a good time. He's a bit like Boris Johnson, if you know what I mean. Enjoys frivolity and alcohol.
And Seneca endorses this. Burrus endorses this.
They put up with it. They don't endorse it so much as they put up with it. It leaves them free to run the empire.
Yes, and he doesn't run the empire. He runs his own life. Now, there's a personality division here that we need to emphasize. It's not been obvious up to this point. Agrippina's dead in 59, but between 54 and 59, she's co-ruler of the empire. She makes a lot of decisions along with Seneca and Burrus. Her son, however, when he's not being frivolous, is keen on being a performer, and he trains on musical instruments. He trains his voice. He studies Greek poetry and Greek theater, and that's what he, at this point, is he entertaining the idea of becoming a performer and an actor, or is that later, Anthony?
It's what he really wants. Throughout his life, he really wanted to be a professional musician in Alexandria. That would be his absolute ideal. I mean, he obviously didn't resist being emperor because it's a prize, but if he'd been given a real choice, that's what he would have done. He also just enjoyed being a teenager out of control. I mean, that is great fun if you're a teenager with those opportunities.
Everything comes to 59, however, and the death of Agrippina, which liberates the young Nero to be his own kind of emperor, to pursue what he wants to do. And one of the things he has rivalry with his mother about is the young women he takes up with. One is a freedman, perhaps a previous slave, Octa, whom Agrippina dislikes intensely, saying, "My daughter-in-law, the housemaid," and other harsh things. Poppaea we've met, and they're going to be, and Octavia is Nero's wife. She is royal. However, does he disdain her? Does she disdain Nero? They don't seem to have anything in common.
They can't stand each other. And they're sexually not very compatible, as far as we can tell.
And that is the succession drama. I've emphasized that the succession drama is always coming up in the Roman, in the first century AD, and it will continue for the balance of the Roman Empire for 15 centuries. So the imperial model, the imperial business plan, I believe, Anthony, in between telling these wonderful stories, that's a primary weakness. Is that correct?
Yes. Plan? Yes. And it was only solved temporarily by the Emperor Hadrian, who decided to adopt a son and then make that son adopt another one. So there were three generations in which the decision had been, the succession had been taken. The awful thing was when no decision was taken and that you never knew. And one of the great difficulties with Nero in his time was that there were so many people with Augustus's blood running in their veins. The crucial thing was to be related somehow to Augustus. Then you might have a chance of becoming emperor. Well, it was, quite innocent people happened to have the drops of Augustus's blood in them. And they were sitting ducks for Nero, paranoid and worried that he was going to be turfed out. You're going to be by one of these other descendants of Augustus.
Which is what is happening right now. We're trying to get to the succession drama, and here it is. Nero sees rivals everywhere. Burrus dies naturally. It looks like cancer. Nero names a new Praetorian Guard leadership. One is a soldier. The other is Tigellinus, who we met earlier, although I didn't mention it, as someone who took up with Agrippina, perhaps earlier on when he was living simply in the Greek islands. But he's now one of the leaders of the Praetorian Guard, and he's an enforcer. He works directly with Nero. They celebrate their own power. They can celebrate it in games, always spectacular games, artificial lakes, gladiator contests, the murder of criminals in front of an entertaining gang. Tigellinus. Yes, Tigellinus becomes the enforcer, and immediately we learn that Octavia is either infertile or nothing is happening. So Nero needs to replace her, but he's worried about being replaced by himself. He seems to pick out men whom he regards jealously. As Sulla and Plautus are both men murdered. Why did he pick them out of all the people around him?
They were leading members of the Stoic opposition. That was the real reason. And they had the drops of Augustus' blood in their veins, and they had to be put away. They had no intention of revolting themselves. They could be used as a sort of as a standard bearer, unknowingly by other people, other conspirators. So it's better safe than sorry, Nero said to himself.
And then he has Octavia murdered. Couldn't he just divorce her? Did he have to go all the way?
It's very hard to say. I think that by that stage, their relationship has got so terrible that he just wanted her out of the way permanently. He just couldn't stand the sight of her.
All right. It is now in the 60s. We're in the 60s. And the drama, which has been nothing but a serial homicide through the first five and now 6 years into it's about to turn to the Roman Empire in general and the challenge of maintaining the army and loyalty and raising money to pay for all of it, taxes, of course, and dealing with the Senate that disregards Nero for all the reasons above, and the population of Rome that celebrates Nero because of the games, because of his personality, because he entertains them. He's witty, or as Anthony mentions, a former prime minister of Britain. Very entertaining, not especially keen on the empire. The book is Nero. Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth are the authors. When we come back, Boudicca. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.